Welcome to another exclusive SearchDataManagement.com podcast. I'm Hannah Smaltry, site editor. Today, we are talking about the ever more complex process of evaluating, purchasing, and implementing business intelligence software. Today's BI platforms are a far cry from the basic query and reporting tools of years ago. These platforms are complex to implement, they're not cheap, so organizations need to carefully plan and strategize. Adding to the challenge, the business intelligence market has seen a spate of acquisitions and announcements from the likes of Oracle, which purchased Hyperion in April of 2007, and Business Objects, which announced plans to acquire Cartesis, and Microsoft, which has big plans for this space. They acquired analytics vendor ProClarity in 2006 and announced Performance Point Server. I've heard that all of this raises a host of questions for organizations purchasing business intelligence software. How is an organization to develop a BI strategy, buy the right platform, and avoid being negatively impacted by a rapidly evolving and consolidating market? To sort this all out, I met with Boris Evelson, principal analyst with Forrester Research, Inc., a Cambridge, Massachusetts-based analyst firm. Boris has more than 25 years of experience with enterprise software and applications implementation, management consulting, and strategic advisory skills. Most recently, Boris was a managing partner at Textra, a boutique strategic advisory firm serving all information technology constituents, including users, vendors, and investors. Boris co-founded Textra after spending several years as a VP and strategic technology advisor at JP Morgan, where he led many successful internal BI initiatives, as well as advising the bank's large enterprise software clients on enterprise adoption issues and product and marketing strategies. Prior to JP Morgan, Boris served as a senior manager of data warehousing and CRM practices at PricewaterhouseCoopers. So Boris has had a career that includes implementing and using business intelligence software, as well as analyzing the market. Welcome, and thank you for speaking with us today, Boris.
Thank you very much, Hannah. It's great to be here, always looking to share my thoughts with your audience.
Well, today our topic is around the BI software market and some of the trends and challenges that listeners might encounter when they're picking out business intelligence technology. So I'd like to start, what are some of the top, maybe the top three or five trends in the business intelligence market, especially when it comes to technology?
Okay, a great question. And I'd love to start actually by defining what business intelligence is, because there are a lot of misconceptions in the world as to what it is. Some people view business intelligence as strictly analytics and reporting tools, but I and Forrester views we view a business intelligence as a very broad market. It's everything that happens to raw data on the way towards transforming it into meaningful and useful information. So we include technologies like data integration, data modeling, analytics, presentation, data visualization, data modeling, etc. So all these technologies are beginning to converge into what we call enterprise optimization. Enterprises are no longer interested in just having a rear view mirror, no longer interested in just analyzing past trends, but rather they are very much interested in looking towards the future in doing predictive modeling. And all that, as I said, converges into enterprise optimization, which consists of two parts. It is enterprise efficiency, how many prospects can I convert to customers, how many of my existing customers can I upsell and cross-sell, so that's being effective, and how efficient can I be, how much service and how much useful work can I squeeze out of my resources. So all that involves convergence of many disciplines, and hence the trends that we're talking about. Most of the data in the enterprise, as you know, is locked in unstructured format. Therefore, we do see a convergence of structured and unstructured business intelligence. So kind of convergence of the world of business intelligence and knowledge management. Data does not exist in vacuum. Data is always used as part of processes, various business processes. Processes themselves have business intelligence on top of them in terms of process dashboards, process monitoring tools. So we no longer view those two areas as separate. Tools like business process management tools, BPM, tools are beginning to overlap and integrate with business intelligence tools so that enterprises can take a singular view into both process and data business intelligence. But another trend that I think is worth mentioning is business intelligence has traditionally been thought of as a batch type, long latency type discipline. You always needed to load a data warehouse a day before or for several hours before you could analyze the data. Well, the world moves much faster now, and I think everyone is interested much more in real-time business intelligence. So we see many vendors coming up with innovative tools that combine the real-time business activity monitoring, BAM, you'll keep hearing that new acronym, with the traditional business intelligence.
And along with those technology trends, we always have mergers and acquisitions in all technology spaces, it seems. And quite recently, we had Oracle announcing plans to acquire Hyperion. What kind of impact is that going to have on the market? And perhaps what about Microsoft's plans in this arena?
In this area. Excellent question again. This is a very this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart because prior to being an analyst, I spent many years on the other side of the wall as a business intelligence technology user. And I feel very sad about a trend of disappearing what we call business intelligence pure plays. But there is definitely a trend in that area, and Hyperion was one of them, and now it's going to disappear into the world of Oracle. The reason I feel sad about that is that even though one can get a wider a selection of products and services from a large vendor like Oracle, we always used to get much more personal service from business intelligence pure play. So you could always count on a Hyperion or Business Objects or Cognos or MicroStrategy or SaaS a salesperson to be right there. You know who they were, they knew who you were, and the relationship was always much more personal. I think large vendors, like ERP vendors like Microsoft and Oracle and SAP and IBM are working towards that. They understand that eventually they will need to provide the same kind of a personal service, but it's a challenge for them. So that's kind of the first implication. A more technical implication for that transaction is that Oracle is definitely getting much closer to SAP customers. Oracle cannot compete directly with SAP on the ERP system selection. It's a major decision for an enterprise, and once enterprise selects an ERP vendor, they pretty much stay with that vendor. However, what Oracle has done now is that even if I'm using SAP or even Microsoft's ERP solution, I could put Hyperion's budgeting and planning on top of it. So with that move, Oracle got much closer to SAP customers and now will compete for a share of their wallet. On the more traditional business intelligence side, there are also many implications. While Oracle always was known for its a top-of-the-line database and top-of-the-line data integration technologies, it never was considered a leader in the multidimensional databases and was never considered a leader in the front end of the business intelligence, the reporting solutions, what the customer actually, the end user touched and felt. So with acquisition of Hyperion dashboards, Hyperion reports, and more importantly with acquisition of Essbase, a market leading multidimensional database, Oracle's BI competition to the pure plays will become more significant.
And how much should companies worry about things like this or future mergers and acquisitions, which have been widely speculated about after the Oracle Hyperion announcement?
I don't think there are any strategic worries because obviously the acquiring companies are in the same business and they will continue to provide the types of products and services and support that the customers are looking for. I think what the customers should be worried is are some tactical decisions about particular products, and I'll give you a perfect example. Because IBM never had its own leading multidimensional database product, IBM's strategy has always been to bundle Essbase as relational and multidimensional solution, as a combination. So now, because IBM and Oracle are obviously arch enemies and compete toe-to-toe in the relational database market, UDB versus Oracle 10G, that IBM Hyperion relationship may not last. So for companies looking to acquire that particular set of products, it is on their tactical kind of a decision to-do list is to potentially reconsider that option.
I'd like to move now to ask you how we should interpret all of this information, or how listeners should interpret all of this information in the context of BI software purchasing decisions. If they have some budget for BI technology this year, they're hearing about this, they're seeing the Oracle deal, how should they interpret this information and apply that to their technology strategy?
I think the answer to that is unfortunately not very straightforward. The easy answer is, well, one should go with established vendors, vendors that have enough footprint that we know that they are not going to disappear and that they are not going to create a vacuum for their customers. However, the unfortunate part is that many of these vendors move much slower in the market than some of the emerging players. And the analogy that I always use is it takes about 18 miles for an aircraft carrier to turn. And therefore, for Oracle or for IBM or for SAP or for Microsoft to invent something truly new and innovative is much more difficult than for a smaller, more agile, kind of a more flexible company. So we do see most of the innovative solutions coming from smaller players, and that's the really tough decision. If I'm looking for some basic BI tools, I think the answer to your question is very clear. I gotta go with an established vendor. But if I'm looking for some niche solutions that are very particular to my niche business, that's where the difficulty comes. And obviously, one has to protect himself or herself from dealing with emerging vendors.
And are there specific things that companies should look for in a BI platform? Are there certain technological aspects or roadmap questions that they should be asking vendors who they're evaluating?
Absolutely. One of the keys to a successful BI implementation is integration. And out of many layers of business intelligence architectural, what we call stack, the most important layer in my mind is metadata. Because ultimately, I can actually utilize data integration tools from one vendor, data modeling tools from a second vendor, and presentation tools from a third vendor. But as long as all of them are tied with either the same or integrated metadata architecture, and as long as I can change a business rule or a name of an entity only in one place, and as long as I can trace my data lineage from report that I see on my screen all the way back to the source system, which is what metadata does, that is really the key. So in terms of evaluating the software, obviously the simplest decision would be let me get all a set of products that cover every single layer of the stack from a single vendor. That works very well in SMB market, where it's a smaller organization, not as many IT resources, and we are not really looking for best of breed solutions. 80% of what we're looking for is good enough, and therefore going with a single vendor is perfect. But in larger organizations where we have many departments, many lines of businesses, many different business requirements, sometimes it is just reality that a single vendor will not fulfill all of the requirements. That's where most of the challenges lie. And if in those cases the implementers of technology insist on integrated metadata architecture, I think they'll be a step closer to the right, solid business intelligence architecture.
I'd like to delve a little bit more into mm-hmm. metadata. Mm-hmm. I think this is a concept that's obviously it's been around for a long time, mm-hmm. and techie people are very familiar with it. People have worked in database administration. And how does metadata, how do you explain metadata to a business person? And metadata is, what has changed with metadata or metadata repositories? What's the deal with metadata?
Right.
Why is
well,
it so important?
The traditional answer is metadata is data about data. So it's actually everything but the data itself. It's where did the data come from? When did it come here? What steps did the data take on the way from its ultimate source, a transactional system, to the report that I'm seeing on the screen? Who had access rights to the data? Who prepared the report? When was that report last refreshed? What was the formula that was used to calculate the particular metric that I see on my screen? So it's basically it's everything but the data itself. Metadata repositories are a key part of metadata architecture, but it is actually much more than that, because very few organizations other than multi-billion organizations have the luxury of implementing large, complex, centralized metadata repositories. And these efforts are typically so complex that the benefits sometimes do not outweigh the effort. So it is not a centralized metadata repository that's important. It's the integration between all of the metadata capabilities, metadata portions of all of the BI tools that one puts together. It's the integration part.
Ah, thank you. That helps. Moving back to our discussion about evaluating software, what are some of the key steps organizations should take when they evaluate some business intelligence software? They find something they think they like. What are their next steps?
Okay, so I'd like to answer that by actually taking a step backwards a little bit. I do recommend that business initiatives always precede any kind of a technology BI evaluations, because if an organization does not have, for example, such a concept, such a methodology, such a process as data governance or data stewardship, then every technological evaluation or implementation of a BI tool will ultimately fail. So what one needs to do first is make sure there is a strong senior executive sponsorship of data governance initiative. The data governance initiative has representation from all of the major lines of businesses, and not just front office, but both front, middle, and back, because requirements may be different. And it is important that the very first step that this organization takes is to create a common data dictionary, a set of metrics that their organization will be measured on, and common definitions of calculations and methodology behind arriving at those metrics. Once that is done, the next step is still not technological. The next step is coming up with a business intelligence vision, kind of where because business intelligence is never a tactical project. It's never a tactical implementation. It is always a roadmap. It is typically it typically takes no less than 2 or 3 years to implement a comprehensive enterprise-wide business intelligence environment. So it has to be a vision. There has to be a strategy, a vision of the ultimate target state, and a very clearly defined set of steps or phases with dependencies on how to get there. Once that is defined, at that point, I say now you are ready to start evaluating the business intelligence tools, because now you have a very clear set of steps and a clear set of requirements, clear set of metrics. Now you take those and you map them against BI vendor capabilities, and that's how you evaluate them.
And when you're negotiating for BI software vendors, are there any things to know as you're negotiating pricing, looking at licensing structures? Are there any changes or trends in the way that BI software is sold?
There are definitely a lot of changes in the pricing structure. All of the users of business intelligence, and actually all enterprise applications and enterprise software, are demanding simplification. Traditionally, pricing structures and options have been extremely complex, starting from multiple SKUs that one had to, or product labels that one had to go through. So there is definitely a trend for enterprise software vendors to consolidate multiple SKUs into, at best, one or two product offerings. That's one trend that users should look for and ask for from the vendors. There's also a trend of moving away from inflexible pricing structures such as named users or server-based pricing structures. Enterprises are very agile and they're always on the move. So a person within an enterprise constantly moves from one role to another. Enterprises constantly add hardware, reposition, redeploy hardware. So the best pricing options are coming from the side of software as a service subscription models or concurrent user licenses that really do not look at named users or fixing the price to specific server usage. So these are some of the best practices that most of the leading vendors are moving towards, and buyers of technology should ask for these as part of the negotiation and citing competitors and competitive advantage of other vendors when negotiating with vendors that are less flexible.
Now, let's assume that somebody has evaluated their software, they've mm-hmm. successfully negotiated with a vendor, mm-hmm. they've tied it to their business initiative. What are some of the challenges when it comes to actually implementing BI software?
Well, even before we implement, and let's say if it's a good example, so we've created a data governance organization. We took ourselves through all of the right steps. One of the intermediary steps that I always recommend that very few enterprises follow, and I think it's a very indicative step towards what vendor to choose, is to actually ask the vendor whether they, quote-unquote, eat the same dog food as they try to sell. So, for example, if they're trying to sell you a dashboard that will show you how is your enterprise performing, ask them whether their CEO is actually using the same dashboard, the same technology, to run his or her business. And sometimes I would even recommend making an unannounced visit to that CEO's office, walk into the office, take a look at their PC, and actually see whether they do have that that dashboard running. And if they don't, you know what, there may be something wrong with that, what that vendor is telling you their product can do. So once that step is passed, I think some of the best practices in terms of implementing business intelligence and any enterprise software applications is small, manageable steps. I am a big opponent of kind of a big bang implementation approaches. We talked about a vision and a roadmap. So the strategic roadmap needs to be divided into tactical steps. And each tactical step has to be a small department, 10 to 20 users, no more than that. Very specific, very focused business requirement, maybe one particular aspect of that of a department, let's say it's just sales metrics and sales business intelligence. Don't try to cover the whole CRM gamut, which would include service and marketing as well. So pick a subject area, pick a small department, roll out a proof of concept, turn that proof of concept into a prototype. And once that prototype is successful, move on to the next steps. This works very well for many reasons. Number one, manageability, but number two is that in most of the cases when one implements business intelligence environment, it can be implemented two ways. Top down, an end user tells the technologist what they need, and technologists go out, find the sources of the data, and they model that data. But unfortunately, very often the end users don't know every single question that they will ask in the future from the business intelligence environment. So typically they say to a technologist, well, go get everything that's out there, model it, I'll start using it, and then I'll tell you what I want. That's a much more typical approach that's obviously riddled with problems, because one cannot just take every single piece of data and information, model it without some particular requirements. So I say start with small steps, let the end users play with that environment. It's almost like a sandbox environment, because only when they have that first data mart, first set of reports they can touch and feel, only then will they start providing a technologist with the real requirements.
Any final advice for those tasked with evaluating, purchasing, or implementing BI software this year?
Sure. So we covered many of the areas for best practices in terms of start with business first, data governance and data organization, data stewardship is a very important piece of the puzzle. Forrester has several excellent research pieces on data warehousing and business intelligence best practices. So definitely take advantage of that and take a look at those research papers. We have an IT forum coming up, enterprise IT forum coming up in May, where many of the best practices for implementing enterprise software, including business intelligence solutions, will be discussed. So we talked about data governance, we talked about vendor selection, we talked about a roadmap and then taking small steps. The other and probably the last advice that I will give our listeners is that unfortunately business intelligence still cannot be categorized as a science. I cannot predict and categorize and document every single step, every single requirement, every single best practice. It is still much more of an art. So it still takes a skilled, experienced professional who's done it before, who has lessons learned, documented, who's seen successful projects and unsuccessful projects. So I would say if experience like that does not exist within your organization, definitely seek advice from professional system integration firms. There are many great system integrators out there who have done this for 20 or 30 years, who've started back in mainframe business intelligence days and who kind of traced that whole process, who do know what the lessons learned are and who do know the best practices. I would definitely recommend starting any significant BI initiative by partnering with an experienced systems integrator.
Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Boris Evelson, Principal Analyst with Forrester Research, Inc.
Hannah, thanks very much. Great to be here.
That, again, was a conversation with Boris Evelson, Principal Analyst with Forrester Research, Inc. To learn more about Boris and see his upcoming speaking engagements and view his most recent research, please check out Forrester.com. That's Forrester.com. And to learn more about business intelligence, please continue to turn to searchdatamanagement.com. Subscribe to our twice monthly BI bulletin and email newsletter to stay up to date on current news. Add our RSS feeds to your reader to stay connected with all data management news. And remember, there are a host of related articles and resources on the page where you downloaded this podcast. Check out stories on negotiating with BI vendors, best practices for BI implementations, and how to determine the ROI of BI. And if there's something else you'd like to see or hear about BI, please let us know. You'll find links to my email address and our other editors' email addresses, again, right on the page where you downloaded this podcast. You've been listening to a SearchDataManagement.com podcast about business intelligence software trends. I'm Hannah Smaltry, site editor. Thank you again for listening, and have a great day.